And we are back with another installment of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. I am Kevin here alongside my sister and co-pilot, Mary. How you doing,
What's Mara? Up, everybody?
Yes. And after last week's tour de force of Office episodes, we are back this week with Season 5, Episodes 15 and 16, Stress Relief Part 2.
Part 1.
Yep. So we're wrapping up a cliffhanger and starting a new one, mm-hmm. it appears. So before we get into this week's episodes, Mare Bear, just give a quick Cliff Notes version of what we did last episode.
I like how you tell me quick.
Quick
Cliff Notes.
Cut it to the fucking chase.
So, Prince Family Paper, Michael and Dwight go and they destroy a family-owned business.
Yes.
And then also the
rest... It sounds better when you lay it bare like that.
And then The Office debates Hilary Swank's hotness.
Yes. Or notness,
Or not
will.
Hotness.
Yes.
I was waiting for them to have a second reveal that she did have a penis. That's the clip
That's
you guys
highlight.
Get from last week.
That's a highlight.
And then in Stress Relief Part 1...
Stanley has a heart attack.
Stanley has a heart attack because Dwight faked a fire and then he cut off the face of a CPR dummy. That's where we're at.
Yeah, they keep getting called to the principal's office, David Wallace.
Yeah.
And he reams them up, but he doesn't fire them. It's like it's like a 70s cop show where like the big burly chief calls him
he's like,
you guys, I don't like your methods, but you get out there and do it the right way.
You get the job done.
It's fucking good.
And Pam's dad and mom are having some marital issues.
Yes. That's the big one that we're going to hit.
Her dad is staying with them, so.
Yeesh.
Could you imagine if mom and dad had issues and, like, you're off on your own and
Dad live with you. Dad would move in with you.
I love you, Dad, because I know he listens to us.
Mom would live with, probably
mom
Oz.
Mom would stay in the house.
No, mom would live with Oz.
No, she would stay with our sister.
Yeah, old broads. Old broads making soup, knitting, doing those things.
They like to drink their tea.
Wearing cardigans in the summer because it's too chilly. There's a draft all the time.
That's definitely where mom would go.
Oh, yeah, totally. So that brings us to episode 15 of season 5, Stress Relief Part 2.
Yep.
Did you like this one more or less than the previous episode?
Out of curiosity. Then part 1?
Yeah.
I liked it a little bit less than part 1. Part 1 was so manic and so... Like, it was just chaos.
It was a different type of Office episode.
Yes.
One we haven't seen. This one I liked about the same, to be honest.
Okay.
So... We'll talk about it at the end, but
Let's get into it. All right, so cold open. Michael and Dwight are sitting in Michael's office. Dwight's drinking some kind of liquor.
It looked like Ipecac or something.
Oh,
I don't know, like vanilla extract. You know what I mean?
I thought it was like one of those little bottles, like
a little like a mini
little,
bar.
Yeah, like the ones at the cash register at the liquor store.
I don't know what it was. It looked like a thing of vanilla extract
to
me.
Yeah, it did. Okay. But anyway, Michael is upset because he just realized that he's what's stressing everybody out.
Mm.
And Dwight, like, hands him. He's like, oh, here. And he makes him sign his little apology note. And Michael goes into a talking head saying, like, do you remember when boss meant, like, cool? It meant something cool, like, oh, those shoulder pads are so boss. That perm is so boss. He goes, that's what made me want to become a boss. And
when he talks about a perm and shoulder pads,
you still look so good
I
with
think
a perm
of like
and shoulder pads.
Fucking Perfect Strangers or something
oh
like that.
Oh my god, bulky,
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 not bulky. Bulk was Power Rangers. Bulk and Skull.
No, bulky is actually Grey's Anatomy. Sorry.
You
won't know. Yeah, it's okay.
Right.
But anyway, so Michael decides that a way for his staff to release their stress is he's going to hold a roast for himself.
Yep.
And he tells everybody, you know, don't hold back. You know, you can make fun of me that I'm a womanizer, that I'm fit. You know, I don't want to write your material. And Kevin, in a talking head, just sits there and literally just...
just giggles, yeah.
And then Oscar goes, I think of myself as a nice person, but I'm going to try to make him cry. Which I think is everybody's dream.
Oh, yeah. Especially for somebody like Michael Scott.
Yeah. So now we're in the office. Everybody's sitting at their desk. They all have their legal notepads. Like,
yeah, everybody's writing out material.
Writing
They're
out.
Not working again. They're just writing out material.
And Michael's like, I can see everybody's stress melting away. He goes down to the warehouse where they're going to hold the roast. And there's literally a stage that is 8 pallets, like 2 stacked on or 4 stacked on top of each other, and a piece of plywood on top. Michael tells Daryl that he wants a throne and that they need alcohol for the spit takes. And Daryl's like, you're going to be spitting in my warehouse.
Yeah, Daryl doesn't want to have any
part of this. He's not having any of this. Yeah. And Michael's like, well, yeah, spit take, finger guns, which is my personal favorite.
He did that last episode.
It did.
Or the Christmas one, I should say.
And then he's like, or the Sammy Davis Jr., the knee slap. You know that one, Daryl.
So awesome.
Dude. And Daryl's just like, I fucking hate you.
You could tell that Michael watched a lot of those Dean Martin roasts growing up.
Oh, God,
the ones that you see all the infomercials for nowadays. Frank Sinatra roasts Ronald Reagan, you know, shit like that.
So Dwight then goes up and he approaches Toby and he's like, oh, hey, if it's not everybody's favorite redhead, poor Meredith. Like, hello. And he's like, Toby's like, you want me to sign your form, don't you? Don't you, Dwight? And he's like, what? I mean, maybe. And he's like, would you like to buy some of my daughter's Girl Scout cookies? And Dwight...
Yes. This is the most misogynistic thing I've ever heard. It's so great.
Dwight said, I think it's dangerous to teach young girls self-esteem and leadership skills.
He's such an
asshole.
It's
hilarious, it's so wrong.
It's hilarious because he's such an asshole.
Yeah. But he's like, well... And Toby's like, well, you know, we could meet for like an hour or two to discuss your progress. And Dwight decides to buy a case of Dosey-Dos because he just milked the goats, so it's perfect timing.
Whatever the fuck that,
goat's milk.
Well, I know, but I just love Toby's face.
Toby's like, what? Sure, okay. So now Pam's mom calls her. Her dad is looking for an apartment. And Pam's like, Jim! She goes up to Jim and she's like, my dad's getting his own apartment. What did you say to him? And Jim in a talking head, he's like, he's joking.
Did you notice about the talking head? Did you? What's behind him? The window is still boarded up.
From Michael's
throwing the projector through it.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It's a continuation episode.
It is. It's great continuity.
Yeah,
it's just
that's
hilarious.
Fantastic.
Because it's been at least like... at least a week.
Well, Stanley was in the hospital.
Yeah, Stanley was out and came back. So it's been a while, and they haven't replaced it.
That's amazing. But Jim's joking about divorce. He's like, well, they say the divorce rate is 50%, like one in two divorces. So it's either her parents or my parents.
And he just like smiles.
Yeah. Like,
that's the kind of humor you need in tough times.
I guess. So then Pam's in the talking, and she's like, I want to know what he said to my dad that made him want to get a divorce from my mom. And at what point in our marriage is he going to say it to me?
She's all worked up.
So she's like already like...
Mm. Fucking Jim.
Almost like questioning her relationship with Jim. Blaming him for...
the dissolution of her parents' marriage.
Yeah. And so now we're at the roast. And Dwight makes an announcement as everybody's walking in that it's a mandatory meeting and that everybody must sign in order to be counted. Mm. And then Phyllis notices that it's his apology letter.
Yeah.
And he's like, damn it, that was the last one I needed. So Michael welcomes everyone to his roast. And all of his jokes, like he's opening.
Lame.
Just falling
Lame
flat.
Michael. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a photo of Michael in the background.
It's the one from that birthday.
Yes.
Remember the birthday celebration?
Where we talked about how horrible he looked
he
in it.
He looks like he's about to die.
Yes. He's got bags under his eyes.
He's red. When his hair was combed straight back.
Before the hair plug.
I was going to say, before his hair mysteriously grew back, like LeBron James, the fucking hair plug. It's fucking insane.
And Angela, like, he's like, all right, everybody, like, come up whenever you want. Angela almost runs up there.
Yeah, like a little pixie just running up there.
And her whole thing is like a take on the Jeff Foxworthy. You might be a redneck. You might be Michael Scott if you had to call the fire department because your head was stuck in your chair. Like, stuff like that. Everybody's eating it up. At one point, she's like, she holds the mic out to everybody and they're like, you might be Michael Scott. And Michael's like, hey, I don't make burgers at your place of work and tell you how to make burgers.
He's horrible.
Like, what the fuck, Michael?
Horrible.
So then Kelly gets up and she made a list of people that she'd make out with before making out with Michael. A turtle, a fridge, the warehouse, any of the guys in the warehouse.
And they all go, yeah!
Kevin, a wood chipper, a candle, and Lord Voldemort. And then she goes, happy birthday, Michael!
Birthday. So stupid.
So Meredith gets up and she's like, Michael, you hit me with your car. You posted a photo of my boobs on the bulletin board with the caption, gross. You're the reason I drink, the reason I live to forget.
Doesn't he also hit the rim shot on the drone? Yeah, Meredith doesn't tell a joke. She's just like, I'm going to commit suicide.
You're the reason I drink.
The reason I forget.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So then Oscar's just yelling at him in Spanish. And he's like, I just, you know, said what I usually say on my ride home.
I love it. It's because, like...
No, like, he's yelling at him. He's not saying it. He's yelling at
him. Yeah, he's, like, berating him.
Yeah.
Like, you imagine, like, that's how Oscar's mom was when he misbehaved? Like, it was good shit.
Toby goes to walk up, and Michael yells, no, friends only, friends only.
Fuck you, Toby.
Jim goes up, and he makes fun of Michael using terms incorrectly, like, despite her face. Dwight gets up, and he starts yelling at everybody for making fun of Michael, because he's their superior.
Yep.
And Michael's like, shut up, idiot, idiot, idiot. And Dwight snaps. He's like, you're calling me an idiot? You pathetic, short little man. You have no friends or any family. No land. And he just walks off the stage like, fuck you, Michael. Pam gets up. And I was actually surprised. She was actually funny.
Well, the last part was.
No, I thought it was actually funny.
What was the first part? I forget. Because I only wrote down Mike's penis.
Every hour somebody is
the Nigerian.
Taken by an internet scam, and that person is Michael Scott. He's supporting 20 Nigerian princesses, and his thing is so small.
Yeah.
And then everybody goes, how small is it? And she goes, if it was an iPod, it would be Shuffle. Which, for those of you who don't remember,
that's a dated reference now, yeah.
It's about a square inch.
Yeah, it's a tiny little thing.
Yeah. Would fit, it doesn't have a screen.
I was going to say, how much would it fit? Like 200 songs or something?
I think it had like a lot. You could get a lot of storage on it. It just didn't have a screen.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't go to your artist and choose your artist. Like,
it was just like whatever just came up. Press play, right?
And whatever songs you got on there, we're on there.
Random shit.
Yep. And then Michael, he like gets up and he's like, normally after jokes, the roasters say something nice, like about how much they love him or something, so feel free.
Everybody's just coming guns blazing.
Yeah. So then Daryl gets up and he's like, oh, we're a family, right, Michael? You always say that. And Michael's like, we are a family. And he goes, oh, what's his name? And he points to this warehouse worker in the back, which you can... obviously see his name tag.
Yes.
But he's like, oh, funny, Dwight, or Daryl. And he goes, what's his name? He goes, I don't think I've had the pleasure. This poor man goes, Michael, I gave you a ride home last week. Probably when he was getting his bumper fixed.
I was going to say, when he drove over that parking block.
And we were stuck in traffic for an hour. And
Michael's answer is my favorite, by the way.
Roy? And Daryl goes, Roy left years ago. And his name is Michael.
Well, he also says Jefferson.
Yes.
Jefferson. Like Mr. Jefferson.
Apparently that's his only point of reference.
I fucking love Michael. He's so idiotic.
He really is.
But yeah, the guy's name is Michael.
Michael.
Just like his.
Oh. So then Andy sings a parody song of What I Like About You, except it's What I Hate About You. Yes.
The one lyric is amazing.
Stanley, he's trying to die just to get away. Yes. It's true. That's what I hate about you.
Oh, yes.
Stanley tried to die just to get away. So now Michael's getting, like, more and more upset. He gets up to, like, do his part, and
he's almost in tears.
He's too sad to say his own jokes, and he runs off alone.
Like a bitch.
Into the wilds of the warehouse.
Yeah, into the shelving.
So now it's the next day, and Michael's not at work. Mm-hmm. And everybody's kind of concerned. Everybody feels badly. Except for Kevin, apparently, who took his sock off in the break room, and he's like, Michael's so dumb.
He alphabetizes his M&Ms.
Yes.
And, well, Dwight's icicle theory.
That was pretty cool. So he's like, I'm afraid that Michael was impaled by an icicle. He likes to stare at them from directly below. And I always say, Michael, step to the side and look at it from the look at it from the side. Step 2 feet back. And he's like, no, I like looking at them from underneath. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, he's been impaled by an icicle.
Jesus Christ. So now Michael, Michael texts Dwight and he says, personnel day. And Creed's like, face it, he's dead. And Jim's like, he just sent a text. And Creed goes, what's a text?
Creed's life is fascinating.
I would just love like an hour of seeing like where he lived.
By the quarry.
He throws stuff in the quarry.
He throws stuff in there.
So now Michael, we see he's in jeans and a trench coat and a turtleneck sweater.
What does he look like? I was trying to place it. I was like, he looks like some kind of fucking, like a heavy for, like, a Hungarian mobster something. Like, who the fuck dresses like that?
Michael Scott.
He looks, or like a mime who's out of work or something.
Michael
like,
Gary Scott.
He's so ridiculous.
But he's at the park.
He looks like he just came from like a funeral or something.
Yeah, he does.
It's all
except
black
for the jeans.
And like the shoes. Yeah. Kind of like how our brother tries to look when he dresses fancy.
Fancy pants.
When he tries to like, you know, oh, I want to show off for my lady, my fiance.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying, like the jeans.
No,
the,
I agree.
The boot shoes or whatever. What are they called?
A boot shoes?
I don't know what they're called. They look like boots, but they're not. They're like fancy.
I think they're boots.
You're talking to a guy who only wears sneakers, and then
you're talking to a girl who has one pair of heels and they're booties.
Booties?
Booties. They're like heels, but they're like boots.
You don't have like stilettos?
No.
See, I have like two. I have a brown pair of dress shoes and a black. The black shoes are for funerals. The brown ones are for weddings.
Jesus Christ.
We're not fancy people.
No, we are not. We are definitely the Kevins of the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is what happens with like, your husband's a musician.
Yeah.
I grew up playing punk music. Like, this is kind of what happens as you get older.
We wear Converse.
You compartmentalize.
That's what I wore at my wedding. I wore Converse shoes.
Oh, that's right.
You
were one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was comfortable as fuck all day.
I looked great at
your
wedding.
You did.
How great. Like, I outshone you in some of the wedding photos.
Wow, Kevin. Anyway, moving on. Michael's at the park where Kevin's going to end up, where his body will end up. He's at the park, and he's sitting on swings with a loaf of bread. God, and he's cawing.
Caw-caw! Which is the fan battle cry for the St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL. Caw-caw.
So
it's
anyway,
a hashtag on Twitter. Just throw it.
So anyway.
You don't want to talk about the XFL.
I don't understand the XFL.
It's football.
Wasn't there already arena football, though?
It's not arena football.
Jesus
Christ. Arena football. Oh, God. You're okay, we don't have time.
Yeah, we really don't have time right now.
Just go.
Later.
Just go.
But instead of breaking up the pieces of bread, he's throwing out full slices of bread. And he doesn't understand.
And it's going like 2 feet. He's just like, flop.
He doesn't
flop.
Understand where all the birds are. They must have all flown west for the winter. So anyway, we're back. And Phyllis, they're like, oh, Phyllis, you have a delivery. She goes over, she signs for the package, and the box is empty. All of a sudden, the clipboard flies out of the delivery man's hand, and Dwight gets it. Yeah. And he's like, that was the last signature I needed. He is like a vaudeville villain.
Yeah, he really
doing
is.
Whatever he needs to. And it was fantastic.
It is good shit.
So now Andy's watching the movie alone, and the movie...
The Jack Black
from
last episode.
Yeah, the Jack Black is... It's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I just love... Cloris Leachman has broken up with Jack Black's character, and he's like, come on, come back to me, I know you love me, and she's like, it's not that you, you broke up with my granddaughter, and it's not that you want children, it's that you lied to me, and I can never trust you again. She gets on her what are those called, magic chairs or
I'm
something?
I'm not sure what they're called. I dated a girl whose grandmother had one,
though. So it's one of those chairs that you install on your stairwell, that an older folk or somebody who has issues climbing stairs can sit in, and it will take them to the top of the stairs and they can ride it down
at
the stairs.
At a blazing 0.25 miles per hour.
Yes. So she gets in that and she starts going up the stairs and he's like, no, no. Like, he's sobbing. And Andy is in turn also sobbing.
Andy is crying.
But he's watching it alone.
Yes.
Which, so Pam and Jim never saw the end of
the
pirated
movie. They crapped out on the
movie.
Yeah.
I guess they just couldn't stand to be around Andy that long.
Well,
what a shock.
Jim did say last episode that they don't pirate movies, but watching it with Andy, the punishment fits the crime.
Yes, absolutely. So now Pam's dad calls, and she's like, all right, I'll meet you down there. So he comes to meet her, and they're outside the office, and then Jim goes out to meet her, and she's like, I don't know how to describe Pam in this moment.
Emotional?
Okay.
She's got tears in her eye because her dad just told her the bad news.
They are going to get a divorce.
Yes.
And he told her what Jim told him.
Well, Jim says, is it my fault? Is it what I said? She goes,
yes. He told me about how you told him that you love me, how much you love me, and how you feel when I walk into a room, and that you never had a doubt that I'm the woman you want to spend the rest of your life with. And... he never felt that way about my mom, even at their best times.
Mm.
And he's like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm okay.
And they embrace.
They do. And then there's a little interview with Pam. She's like, when you're a kid, you think your parents are soulmates. My kids are going to be right about that. And she, like, says something else, like, theoretical about it. And Andy is in the background. He's like, come on!
Yeah, like she's ripping the movie apart still.
And so then Michael comes back into the office. And I love Dwight. Why are you wearing a turtleneck? calls it out.
Because it's insane. Yeah. It's an insane piece of clothing. He's like evil George Steinbrenner in the fucking turtleneck.
Stop.
No, it's unbelievable.
So now Michael explains that he was at the park and, you know, he just wrote down some things that he wanted to tell everybody. And this is what he says. Jim, you're 6'11 and you weigh 90 pounds. Gumby has a better body than you. Boom, roasted. Dwight, you're a kiss ass. Boom, roasted. Pam, you failed at art school. Boom, roasted. Meredith, you've slept with so many guys, you're starting to look like one. Boom, roasted.
That one's harsh.
Kevin, I can't decide between a fat joke and a dumb joke. Boom, roasted. Creed, your teeth called, your breath stinks. Boom, roasted. Angela, where's Angela? Angela raises her hand. Whoa, there you are. I didn't see you behind that grain of rice. Boom, roasted. Stanley, you crush your wife during sex and have heart and your heart sucks. Boom, roasted. Oscar, you're gay. Andy, Cornell called, and they think you suck, and you're gayer than Oscar. Boom, roasted. Stanley is cracking the fuck up.
Yeah, he's like dying.
All of this.
He starts crying, laughing.
And that, like, Michael starts laughing during the Oscar one, and it's just great. And he's just like, I keyed. And everybody applauds. And then we're in a talking head, and Michael says, laughter is the best medicine. Stanley, throw away those pills of yours. You're cured. Maybe keep the pills. Maybe don't do that.
Yes.
And that's how we end the episode.
That's it.
Michael's back on top, baby.
So, what did you give this one, out of curiosity?
I gave this one a 4.0.
I gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
4.5. Why did you deduct off of the part one of the stress relief episodes?
Off of part one, it was the guided meditation. I just felt like that was a weird way to end.
But like, why did you see this one as lower than that?
It was, I enjoyed the chaos more of part one. I thought it was a good end to the two-parter.
Okay.
But it just, it wasn't as funny for me.
I love this episode, and because it's cathartic. Because how many times have we ragged on the Michael character? Like, fuck. This is the time everybody tells him, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You are a human paraquat. Like, it's the truth. Like,
you're the reason I drink and the reason I live to forget.
Yeah, like, it might not have been funny, but it was like, thank you. Because I've been saying for 4.5 seasons, like, fucking how does nobody go off on this guy? They're all just like, oh, that Michael.
Yeah.
And this is the one when everybody just gets to do it. And I fucking love that because they were funny too. And the boom roasteds at the end were funny. And like, I did deduct for one thing.
What did you deduct for?
Jim and Pam. Because, and this
is a storyline.
No, hold on. This
is
my problem.
You deduct any time they go further than we're engaged still.
This is my problem with the Jim Pam thing. It's not real. Because has Jim ever done anything wrong? He always does the right thing. And she always loves him no matter what. Like, Jim goes, it's like, oh, your parents are divorced, but, like, look what I said about you. And she's, like, happy with him. Like, it's too perfect. It's too saccharine. It's too sugary sweet. Like, I have diabetes from watching Jim and Pam all these times. There's never any adversity with their relationship.
But she...
It's like Rey in the Star Wars movies.
But they literally did have adversity.
Adversity.
Adversity. When she confronted him in the kitchen, it was like, what did you say?
Yeah, but then it all turns out okay, because what Jim said is exactly what she wants to hear.
Like, but Jim said it not thinking like, oh, her dad's going to go back and tell her this.
Yes, well, it doesn't matter. That's how the show is written, and that's what's presented to us, and that's what we're rating. And it's just like, it's too perfect. Jim doesn't fuck up at all. Jim doesn't make any mistakes. Pam is just, no matter what Jim does, oh, Jim! Like, it's annoying after a while. And I hope that there's a storyline where, like, Jim cheats on her or something.
Yeah, but just last week...
You know what I mean. Like, she has the suspicion.
Not last week. The week before, when they were at ends about the chair versus copier.
That was just, like, a little joke. Like, they even joked with each other.
Not at the end.
They just wanted different things. It wasn't, like, actual, like, issue. Then he bought her a fucking house and didn't tell her, put her fucking name on it, and she's just like, it's perfect, Jim.
But here's the thing.
Come on. Fuck that.
Not everybody has a relationship where you're battling all the time.
I'm not talking about battling. I'm just saying some speed bumps. Because every relationship at least has speed bumps. This one is just like, they were meant to be, they overcame the odds and they're together, and everything is perfect, and no matter what Jim does or what happens in their lives, like, everything is just ducky. And it's like, look at every other relationship on this show. This is the only one that's like that.
Yeah, but they're engaged. Like, they're still in their, like,
they were even like that. Glasses. They were even like that when they weren't together, though.
Like, they were just friends, though.
They come on.
Before they were in a relationship.
They weren't just friends.
What were they?
They were friends, exactly. But there was more to it, and it was presented as, look at these two lovebirds, they're going to be together. And this is just building up to that.
I think you just have a vendetta against
I don't. Them. It's just, it's too fucking, it's cloyingly sweet.
I mean, if that's your opinion, but...
Because, like, if every guy in the world...
I don't think it is.
Have you ever met anybody like Jim Halpert up to this point in the series where the guy can do nothing wrong? He's 6'11 with Gumby's body.
He weighs 90 pounds. Yeah. Gumby has a better body. But, like, we have seen him do shitty things.
To Dwight.
To hot girl. To purse girl. He fucking dumped her on
a boat. But it was all
boat.
For Pam. I'm saying their relationship is just, like, so storybook. And it's like, if they're going to present everybody else on the show with flaws and it's like a depth of like realistic.
Okay, so far they are presenting them as the normal, logical couple.
No, they are the
fake couple. No, they are the
too
normal,
good for real life, they're on TV couple.
The people at, okay, so what couple do you know that works together that wants to air their fucking dirty laundry at work?
No couple.
Exactly. Exactly. They are at work. We are
no
not
couple wants to work
them.
With each other. The only couples that work together are ones that own their own businesses. Like the Prince Paper Company.
Exactly. They seemed happy. Are you going to say shit about the Prince family? Patriarch and matriarch, Kevin?
That dude went to NAM. Okay? Exactly. He has my respect.
All right,
he's
but
a
anyway.
Fucking veteran, as Walter Sobchak would say.
Anyway.
I don't know. I still gave it a 4.5. It's still a great episode.
Oh, it's absolutely a great
episode.
But
it bothers me that there's never anything.
Half a point off.
It's like the Star Wars movies, the sequel trilogy, I guess you'd call it, the last three that came out, where like we're supposed to be behind Rey and love Rey and go Rey. She never faces any sort of adversity. No matter what she does, she's successful at it. She's great at it. Like, how can you get behind like the perfect person? And that's how I feel about this.
She had a horrible childhood.
She didn't have a horrible childhood because she doesn't fucking remember it.
She was abandoned.
Exactly, but she doesn't remember any of it. She's just like, oh, I grew up
eating
dirt.
She was abandoned when she was like 3, dude.
And she
not everybody's like you and has a fucking memory that goes back to when you were fucking in the womb.
And then she saved the universe and never had a stumbling block in the most, like, I don't know. Like, that's just how I feel about Jim and Pam. It's just like, okay, he's going to do whatever's right no matter what. And she's going to be like, oh, Jim. And
I
there
guess.
We go. I don't know. That's the only thing.
Here's the thing. I'm tired of talking about how much you hate Jim
I don't
and Pam.
Hate them. That's the thing. Is like, I just said on the last episode, I like what they're doing with Jim and Pam. Mm-hmm. But then, like, they do this shit where it's just like, I can't get behind it because it's not in the same spirit as the rest of the show. Where everybody else has flaws and everybody else fucks up. And then these two are just like, we're perfect.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
Next up, we have episode 16, Lecture Circuit, part 1.
All
right. Right after this.
And thanks for joining us for the halftime portion of the show. This is the portion of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. So right now, I'll tell you what you can find over at the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. The Hard Traveling Fanboys, the longest running weekly episodic comic podcast in all of Place to Be Nation with Greg Phillips and Nick Duke. DC4U, an in-depth look at the world of DC Comics with Russell Sellers and Todd Weber. Marvel Age, where Nick Duke, Tim Capel, Russell Sellers, and Todd Weber are going through the history of Marvel Comics. Laugh in Theater, a live watch comedy movie podcast hosted by Andy Atherton. The Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast. The Great Debate, a podcast where host Andy Atherton leads a panel through a series of arguments and topics far and wide. The Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, brings you deep thoughts from the minds of Glenn Butler and his family and friends. This Week in the NFL, with Cowboy and D'Amato. The NBA team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich, cover the world of hoops from coast to coast. The Year in Pop, a deep dive into pop culture year by year, hosted by Andy Atherton, Scott Criscolo, Dr. G, and D'Amato. Diamond Conversations, where host Chad B brings in guests from in and around the baseball world. Sunday Groove, a podcast for music lovers far and wide, hosted by David Sunday. PTBN E-Ticket Attraction, a theme park-focused podcast led by Jason Sherman. Looking Forward, Looking Back Pop Culture, hosted by Andy Atherton, and its sister show, Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports, hosted by The Cowboy. Plus, special topical podcasts and podblasts like Pop Goes the Movies, Pop Goes the Classics, and Pop Goes to the Couch. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling Feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gyms, Body Press Your Luck, and so much more. So subscribe today. While you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position feed as well, as it is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, Freakout Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. We have officially kicked off our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCW matches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board. Be sure not to forget to check out placeofbnation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown and Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon, helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Also, check out the new Place to Be Nation tournament page, where they're doing sports logos now.
Yeah.
Huge. Go Yankees. Go Broncos. The Broncos are actually pretty cool. I wish they had the old school Bronco, the big D with the horse like drop kicking through it. It's fucking awesome. But anyway, that's Place to Be Nation. Mary, why don't you put us over?
Absolutely. So guys, you all, as always, you know to hit us up on Twitter at Brosis Podcast. We like to send our favorite screen grabs and everything over there. So come over, interact with us, have fun. Be
friends. Yeah. Come to us. She's got her hood up right now like fucking around. Emperor Palpatine.
I do. I feel like the Emperor. Darth come Sidious. To the dark side.
Good, good.
Good, good. Speaking Let the of, hate flow through you.
Speaking of Rey.
Yeah.
She's a Palpatine. Talk about a fucking horrible... Spoiler alert.
Jesus Christ.
Talk about a horrible That's fucking
spoiler. That's the fucking spoiler that got ruined for me.
It got ruined for me, too, before I saw the movie. Yeah. I had no idea it got ruined for me.
As we were walking into the theater, guys were walking out of the one next to us, and they're like, I can't believe Palpatine is her grandfather. And I was just like, what the fuck?
My biggest question is, when did Palpatine sire children? Was it... Like Chancellor's era? Was it?
It must have
was
been.
Was it Wrinkled Emperor? Like, have concubines come to the Sith?
No, I'm going to go ahead and say it's Chancellor.
Yeah?
Or before. Yeah, it had to have been.
That makes sense. Chancellor. When he was a senator? Yes. With Queen Amidala and Jar Jar. They exactly. were all on an equal playing field at one point. Oh, lest we forget Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar was a senator. I was really waiting for him to, like, pop out somewhere.
Oh, I was expecting either that or, like, in the last movie when they laid the spy's head on the table. Why couldn't it be Jar Jar, man?
Yeah.
Why?
Just to be like, George Lucas just giving everybody the finger like, yep, Disney bought it. But anyway, hit us up on Twitter at Brosis Podcast or via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
That's right. And we'll love to talk with you and share exciting stories.
Kevin will be a lot more excited than how he sounds right now.
I'm saving my voice.
This is Fraser Crane.
I'm listening. I'm saving my voice right now because I'm about to do season 5, episode 16, Lecture Circuit Part 1. So we're going to leave you with a cliffhanger again. So let's start. The cold open. Jim explains that the IT guy showed Michael the PA function on his phone, and we get clips of...
And just left.
Yeah, and just left. And we get clips of Michael pretending to be a pilot, a ghost.
God.
He's talking to his doctor about a suspicious mole.
Oh, sebaceous mole.
And everybody can hear it. Toby Flinderson to the principal's office.
You wet the bed again.
He's just being a dick. So Jim goes in there and pretends like, oh, I dropped something. And he uses a pair of scissors to cut the cord and just walks out. And Michael still thinks he's got
to... Yeah, you can hear, do you want fries with that?
And he's just yelling in his office at this point. So, that a good cold open. I enjoyed it. Michael's childish side. So, Mike and Pam are at a motel.
Motel.
Like Brett Favre once asked a woman. do you know the story behind that?
Yes, do you want to go to the motel?
Yeah, meet you at the hotel. So he explains that he's on a lecture circuit because Wallace asked him to go to the other branches and share his secrets to success.
Mm-hmm.
And my big thing is here is, was three episodes now ago that he went to New York and talked to Wallace?
Yes.
Wallace knows he's a dipshit. Wallace couldn't.
He absolutely
Wallace
does.
Doesn't know what those secrets are because Michael couldn't adequately
get some
explain
pasta
them.
Up in here.
Yeah. So like, why is he just like, I'm gonna put this out to the rest of the branches?
I feel like just be ridiculous. It's, maybe that'll get sales.
It's insane. So Pam is his chauffeur and his assistant, and she's in it for the multiple days of 24-hour time and a half pay.
Yep.
Because she has a mortgage now.
Yep.
So
you got to bring home the bucks.
Michael brought his toboggan, which is. Yeah. Bungee cord to the roof of the car.
You never know when you'll get a good snowy hill.
Yes.
So now, I have to say, when Pam's like, gotta bring home the bucks, it's like, he's like, don't say bucks, it's not ladylike.
It's funny.
So, the other day, I don't even know why I said this, but me and my husband were talking, and, we were somewhere, and I, like, took a drink of his water, and he's like, do you want the rest? And I was like, no, I just needed something to wet my whistle. And he literally turns around to me, and he goes, don't ever say that again.
I just imagine like pointing his finger at you like, don't ever say that again.
I go, what my whistle? He goes, don't ever use that phrase again.
I imagine that's like something like you hear older guys say. You don't want to hear like your 29 year old bride say that. You know, wet my whistle. That's like such a hillbilly thing.
It just came out of nowhere.
I've never heard you say that before.
I've never said it before, I don't think, but it just came out. He got so offended by
very
it.
Very curious, actually. Like, were you watching, like, X-Men or
no,
something?
No, we were at one of his shows.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And he's not in a jug band either.
No.
Very curious. The best part about this Mike Pam thing is she drives and he sits in the back.
Yes.
Like, she's
driving Miss Daisy.
Yes. Kelly storms into the office and Jim's like, are you okay? And she goes, screw you!
Yep.
And then Dwight's like, don't talk to your superior that way. Screw you, too! And it
they
turns out.
Well, I love Phyllis.
Yeah, Phyllis, like, you forgot her birthday.
Like, so menacingly, yeah. Like, I remembered it, but I'm not the head of the party planning committee.
As we find out through this dual talking head, where because of the Phyllis blackmailing Angela thing, Michael put Jim and Dwight in charge. They're co-heads of the party planning committee.
Yep.
They hate it.
Which they're, like, fighting over the armrest on the chairs.
This is another one where they're, like, working together. Remember the. God, what was it? The customer survey one a few weeks ago. Where it's like, this Jim-Dwight dynamic, like, sure, it's fun seeing Jim fuck with Dwight.
Yeah.
But, like, I like, this
dynamic
is money.
Is amazing.
It's money.
Yeah.
And so Kelly does a talking head where she's like, I'm pissed. Sometimes people are really mean to the hot popular girl.
Because everybody, she got all dressed up and nobody said a word.
Yeah, everybody ignored. She didn't get a party or anything because Jim and Dwight dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Another thing I noticed here in this episode, I don't know if you have. So, say the Schrute's name.
Dwight.
It's Dwight. Like Dwayne, right?
Dwight, yeah.
Okay. If you ever listen to Jim, and I don't know if it's...
Dwight?
Dwight. He'd say, Dwight. And I don't know if that's, like, the character being like, oh, I'm just going to say it, duh.
I think John Krasinski is from...
Boston. So. I don't know if that... Hey, you wicked fucking prick, Dwight. Like, I don't know if it's, like, a Boston... I don't know if... Because, like, part of me is like, is that the character's way? Because everyone else says Dwight.
Dwight.
Is that the character's way of, like... Dwight.
Fucking
like, getting
him.
Under his skin in a certain
maybe.
Way. Because, like, it, I don't know why, but, like, in this episode, I'm like, Dwight. He's,
Dwight.
The way he says it, it's not fluid like everybody
yeah.
else. But anyway, that's just a stupid little thing.
Yeah.
So Mike and Pam are driving, and they're bickering about the radio or talking. And Mike, so this is when the exposition for this episode comes up. Mike asks her if she's nervous to see Karen.
Oh, wait.
Oh, go ahead.
I did love how he said... I need Silence or Sam Kinison to prepare.
Yeah, those are two polar opposites.
Yes.
Have you ever listened to Sam Kinison?
Yes. My husband and I have watched videos. Oh, you've been out in the desert for 3 days partying with your friends.
My favorite Sam Kinison is the Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School. Say it! Say it! He's like screaming in his fucking face. Oh my God. Sam Kinison's a fucking wild man.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, he is. God rest his soul.
Yes, but Silence or Sam Kinison. I had to point that out.
So awesome. So he asks her if she's nervous to see Karen.
Karen's going to be back!
Yeah, and Pam's like, no. And he's like, is that why you wore makeup?
And she's like, I'm not wearing that much.
Not that much. So she does a talking head where she says she hates that people might not like her. Like, she wants to be liked by everybody. And she likes to think that if Al-Qaeda got to know her, they would like her too.
Yep.
Which, well, again, a weird thing that pops into my mind, like the Bret Hart beer butter thing. did you? Okay, you're on Twitter, right? With this, right?
Yeah.
With the podcast.
Test, yeah.
There's an account with, like, I think it's like a 1.5 million followers. It's Wint at Drill. It's like this ridiculous, like, shit posting account. Like,
okay.
He just tweets random shit. And the one tweet he has, it's like really famous. It's like a correction to an earlier tweet. You do not indeed have to hand it to ISIS.
Oh my god.
And like, that's all I thought. When Pam's like, I think Al-Qaeda would like me. I was like, oh my god, that's like the Wint tweet. Like,
Jesus
the
Christ.
Tweet. That's fucking hilarious. So we go back to the office and Stanley enters with an attractive client, a young lady. And Andy is instantly mesmerized. Yes. But Phyllis tells him, she's out of your league. Phyllis is like a bitch in this episode.
Yeah, she is.
Because Andy's like, I've been with lots of pretty young women. She's like, sexually.
But she like looks over her glasses like sexually.
Yeah, she was doing like the thing she did with like Angela with the eyebrow. Andy does a talking head where he says he's single and fighting loneliness and depression.
He will not let them win.
Jim and Dwight are now in the annex with Kelly, and Jim's trying to apologize. She still says, screw you. And like they're yelling over each other, and Dwight just like raises his voice. What kind of cake do you want, imbecile? And she just goes, ice cream.
Everybody loves ice cream cakes, except for Oz.
Yo, do you want to hear something fucked up?
Hmm.
So, Fudgy the Whale is very famous.
Yes.
On The Office with Andy.
Yes.
Last week, I was out with some friends for my birthday, and the one girl just goes, do you guys know what a Fudgy the Whale cake is? Like, she had, and, like, I looked at her and her boyfriend, and I was like, it's Andy Bernard's favorite cake. And he, like, knew. He's just like, thank you! He's like, Carvel, right? I'm like, yeah, man, yeah, we know about that shit.
Yeah.
And
our other brother requested one for his 16th birthday. And
I had no idea it would be so small.
No, when my mom saw it, she bought it, but she was like, yeah, I'm buying another ice cream cake for the rest of the family to eat because you can take this one down by yourself.
It's so tiny. Oh, God, yes. Fudgy the Whale, though. So, Kelly, apparently that whole situation has been diffused now.
Yeah. She's so, like, ice cream cake. That's it.
Mike and Pam arrive in Utica, and Karen greets them.
Well, who do they see first, though?
Rolando.
Rolando.
Who do we... Wait.
No, we've heard of Rolando before.
We?
Yes.
I don't recall.
Because when they went on the panty raid to Utica... Remember, yes. They went on the panty raid.
We know. Panty.
Pam panty found raid. Out. Yes, panty
raid. You like that
raid.
Word? Panty?
Whatever.
Moist panty.
So when they came back and Pam was like, were you really in a female warehouse costume, Jim? And he's like, what? And she goes, Rolando told me everything.
So they've spoken.
Okay. Pam and Rolando
the receptionist,
know each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So,
but the way that Michael is like, oh, you guys can be buddies. I'm like, hey, they know each other already.
Rolando. So Karen greets them, and she's preggers.
Yo, like super preggers.
She's doing like the duck walk when you're like that pregnant. And Michael's first words, is it Jim's?
Oh my God.
And she's like, what? Like,
no, and Pam's like, Michael!
Yeah. And then he just goes, wow, you're huge.
Oh my God.
And then, like, she's just like, okay, everyone's in the conference room, let's go. And he just goes, I'm just trying to calculate the last time you and Jim had sex.
10 months? And it's like, what?
It's been like 2 years.
Yeah!
Right? It's hilarious. So Dwight is decorating the conference room poorly.
So, okay, I have to ask, because this is the first time you've seen this episode, correct?
Yeah, I don't recall this
okay,
one.
Okay, so... Are you aware that when people throw office-themed birthday parties, this is what they mimic?
Well, I kind of figured as much, because, like, yeah, I kind of figured
like
that was
the sign
place.
That says, it is your birthday,
yeah.
Period, no exclamation point.
Oh, wait, you mean they mimic this?
They mimic this
whole
setup.
Oh, I thought you meant the office mimicked the actual office.
No, like, people will throw birthday parties, like, office-themed birthday parties, and they'll get, like, the streamers... The brown, gray,
deflated
black
balloons.
Yeah, like, and they sell kits that have those balloons and those streamers in them, and like a printout that just says "It is your birthday."
One word, merchandising.
Oh, yeah. But
oh,
I mean,
God.
Like, my one girlfriend threw one for her fiance at the time. She threw an office theme party for him.
The balloons are so flaccid.
Yeah, he's like, what is this? It fits in my hand. Yeah. It's a palm of my hand.
And they're brown and gray because they match the carpet, yes, according to Dwight.
Jim.
Yeah. And there's the banner just says, it is your birthday, period.
Yes.
And Jim's like calling him out for it. And then...
And Dwight's like, I hope you're not being serious because this is... this hurts my feelings. Yeah. Luckily, mine regenerate at twice the size of... Or twice the rate of a normal man's as he looks at the camera.
Yes, he's a real man.
Yes.
So he asked Jim if he's collected the money for the party, and Jim hasn't gotten around to it. He only has $6, which is what
that's
they
put what in. We contributed.
And of course, the famous Dwight quote, damn it, Jim! So great. So we see Andy. He's pulling recon on the customer's car. Mm-hmm. The young lady, and he's like, oh, she likes Feist, because he sees the CD, yep. I guess. And he ends up setting off a bunch of car alarms. Do you like Feist?
That one song that I know by her.
She has like a, oh my gosh, she has tons of great songs. One, two, three, four. Well, we'll get there. But that's actually on the lower end of my Feist spectrum.
I don't know any other song by her.
Well, on Place to Be Nation this week, you're going to get three Feist songs on the bumper music. Get ready. So Mike is on the phone now. In Utica, everybody's in the conference room. Pam, Karen, all the workers there.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael's just like freaking out. Oh, this is the worst news. God, no. Oh, I have to go do a presentation now. And he walks in and tells everyone that his dad died.
Yo.
And everyone's like, what? And then he just goes, ha, I got you. I sold you. And that's what you, like, he's trying to say,
yeah,
him selling that emotion is what they have to do to make sales.
Which makes sense, but the way he went about it is horrible.
Oh, yes. And Karen raises her hand, and Michael asks her, oh, do you need to pump?
Oh, my God.
I feel like that was,
women
like...
Women everywhere just cringe during this section.
I feel like that was PTSD from the whole Hannah thing. And, like, of course, Karen's just like, I'll do that after I have the baby.
Yeah, I won't have to do that till after I have the baby, Michael.
So she just tells Mike, she's like, how can you sell? Because now you would be a liar. And Michael says, would a liar bring Minnie Mounds bars? And Pam stands up. Her expression does not change. And she, like, cowardly throws a bunch of Mounds bars into the people. It's like a low-rent magician.
Yeah, and Michael's like, I'm a very theatrical person.
It's so insane. So... He explains that he used, he has mnemonic device,
yeah,
to remember everybody's name, and includes Mole, Lazy Eye, Mexico, Baldy, Sugar Boobs, and Black Woman.
Oh my God.
He's pointing up, and he just goes, you, Baldy, you're bald. The light reflects off your head. It reflects like a mirror. A mirror begins with M. Your name is Mark. It's like, yeah.
That poor man.
Rather than, like, remember people's names.
Yeah, I would have loved to hear him explain away sugar boobs, though.
Well, it was like that, the deposition episode when him and Jan are driving, and he's trying to memorize everything.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like this ass backward, like, all kinds of crazy, like, nooks, but he remembers.
Yeah.
And his mind works like that. So Karen pretty much gets up and says the meeting is over, and she takes Mike and Pam to her office. Now, back at Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
Andy goes into Stanley and the client. He brings coffee and he sings the order in Feist's 1, 2, 3, 4 with like the sugar.
1, 2, 3, 4 Splendors in your coffee, Stanley.
Yes. So Andy or Stanley, of course, after having a heart attack, we see the two of them alone in the kitchen. And Stanley's like, boy, what are you doing? He's doing like the whole thing he did to Ryan. And he pretty much cuts a deal with Andy where he gets two of Andy's clients for Andy to get her because Andy is enamored.
Yep.
We see Mike in this, like, Gallagher on acid in Karen's office. He has a chainsaw prop that he was going to use.
And he's like, don't worry, the chain's off. And Pam's like, no, it's not.
Which I didn't mention the large trunk that Pam brings in, yeah, to the office. Like, he has a box of, like, props that,
yep,
he's going to use.
And he's Carrot Top.
So Pam asks Karen about her due date. It's next month. And Mike asks, this again, PTSD from Jan here. Mike asks if it's of a man, a person, or a sperm machine is in the picture.
Oh my God.
And she's married now. She shows them the pictures of her new guy and everything.
She's a dermatologist. Good for her.
Yeah, and they have goofy pictures and shit.
Oh, the hamburger and hot dog are so cute, though.
Precious. And Pam tells her that she and Jim are engaged. They hug.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're happy for each other. And, like, Michael leans in. He goes, former enemies, now friends. Like, he does
old
this...
Old hatreds dissolve into new friendships.
Yeah, he does this whole thing when they just fade away. So Stanley hands off Julia, we find out to his client's name is, and Andy sits super uncomfortably close.
Ugh.
And starts asking really awkward questions.
Where should we send the bill? To your boyfriend's house, or...
your boyfriend must be so happy to have a successful lady, like, you know, all that shit. He runs out into the main office and asks for advice. Oscar walks away and Creed is there. And Creed just says, "This is how I got Squeaky Frome. Show her who's boss. Just kiss her."
Yo, I'm assuming
I know you Googled it, right?
Didn't
you?
I know who it is.
Oh, do you? Okay.
She was part of the Manson family.
Yeah, but do you know what her bigger claim to fame is?
Oh,
She tried to shoot the president.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford.
I couldn't remember which president it was.
Yeah, she wasn't into, like, the Manson murders. She wasn't part of that.
No, she was a member of the family, but she was, like, the one who went to court, like, all the time.
Yeah, and she tried to...
I'm pretty sure she's the one who was,
she's still alive.
Screwing George Spahn.
Who?
The one, like, the Spahn Ranch.
No clue.
Okay, well, the Spahn Ranch is where the Manson family kind of hung out.
Okay. Is he related to Warren Spahn? It's a semi-serious question. But anyway.
Squeaky Frome is not a good person.
But of course, Creed wooed her.
Yeah. Just gotta kiss her, man.
So, and then he says, "Have I ever steered you wrong, Jim?" So great. Pam and Michael are walking to the car now. Michael says, "That was a B+ presentation." And Pam says that she likes Karen now. She feels good because she has closure.
Yeah.
And Michael looks all
really
sullen.
She's happy she came.
He does the sullen look like he has in the past three episodes.
He's very good at it.
He is. That's Steve Carell's best gear. The pensive look. So Andy walks Julia out to her car. He gets into her car. He tries kissing her.
Dude.
And he immediately regrets it and starts spilling out, like, "I just got out of a relationship, I'm lonely," and blah, blah, blah. And he asks her out, she turns him down, and she leaves, and then he just does a talking head where he says, "We lost the account."
Yo, no fucking duh.
Dwight runs out of the conference room to his desk, the phone is ringing, and he answers it, it's Jim's voice. He goes, "Who is this?" He goes, "It's Moe's." Well, Moe's doesn't know how to use a phone.
Joke's on you.
Jim asks what Kelly's age is because they only have the number candles at the store.
Yes.
And Dwight says, 24, 37.
My God.
Jim asks him to find out. So Dwight runs to the private files and looks up her file.
Yeah, the HR files.
She spent...
The Toby's not fucking having under lock and key.
He just opened it. Well,
Toby's the worst HR rep ever.
It's the worst human. It turns out she spent 1995 through 1996 in juvie.
Yep.
And as Dwight's reading it, like, out of her file, and then he goes, "According to past employers, it doesn't affect her job performance, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah, blah, 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 a lot of other things.
He thought he was hot on the case. So Mike is thinking about Holly, he tells Pam as they're driving. He says, "You remember her? Blonde hair, nice boobs." Because if there's one thing we know about Michael Scott, it's all about the titties.
Remember when he went back with Jan because she got a boob job?
Oh, yeah. That was the one thing when he was doing the pros and cons when they took the women to the mall. She got boobs.
Flat as a pancake.
He's a tit man. That's crazy. So he wants closure now because that's what Pam got. And he wants to go to Nashua. So Pam says, "Let's blow off Rochester," which... completely opposite directions.
Yeah.
Especially from Utica. And they're heading to Nashua, and Michael's, like, smiling. He's, like, happy.
That's, like, a seven-hour ride from Scranton.
Yes. Well, Utica is closer, technically. Mm. But if they're halfway to Rochester, no.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the episode, when Michael was talking about the electric circuit, he did say, "I'm hitting up all the branches except for Nashua."
He did, yeah.
Yeah, so. Jim.
Still a little raw there.
Yeah. And the end card is Jim collecting money for Kelly's party. And he goes to Creed, and Creed gives him a $3 bill.
Yep. Who is on it?
Okay, I had three, because I couldn't decipher it. I even paused and everything. There's three people that came to mind that it looked like. First one is Prince Charles. Second one was George Bush.
Okay.
And the third one was Creed himself. And I couldn't decide who the fuck it was.
I thought it was George Bush.
Okay.
That's who I
probably should have looked in to see, like, what, like, on IMDb or something.
Oh, I'm sure it was,
like,
on
like, on
there.
Production notes or something. But I'm too lazy, so maybe we'll tweet it later. But that's the end of the episode. What did you give it?
I gave this one a 4.4.
4.3.
Nice.
We liked it.
I thought it was hilarious.
Mikey. Well, okay. So, do you have any notes and questions? Because I have, you know, some things.
No, I mean, I thought it was solid up. I'm going to touch on this because I could do without the
You've had something on your phone for like 5 minutes.
I could do without the whole Andy-Julia thing. Like,
oh,
I thought
it's
that
horrible.
So...
That's a big part of why I deducted everything. Yeah.
But, like, of course you can look online and, like, all the Office... show, like the fan pages that I follow on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
And this actually came up the other week, and our brother sent it to us.
Okay.
And it said, Lecture Circuit was meant to be a single episode, but after the first cut in editing, it was still over 40 minutes long, which, as you and I both know, we hate doing the 40-minute yes, long episodes. I
prefer these nice, tight episodes.
Yes. So they couldn't bear to cut any more out of it. So Greg Daniels, the producer, asked NBC to make it a two-part episode, which they agreed to do. So Mindy Kaling, Kelly Kapoor, wrote a few more scenes, including Andy and Julia, to fill in the rest of the time. So it's literally just filler.
Thrown together.
Yeah.
And the thing that pisses me off most is, like, it's not even well done. It's obviously just half-assed. Like, when have we ever seen a client come to the office for business? Like, Michael called in the lady for the product recall.
Yeah, that was like, really it.
Like, that's it. You never see customers come in. So automatically, it's just like, all right, well, that's bullshit.
Maybe it's because Stanley's heart attack. He can't go out on sales calls.
And they have phones.
Yeah.
But you got Andy, who's just like the most unappealing motherfucker in the world. Like that, and that's
and
another thing.
Second only to Dwight in a wife beater.
That's another thing I want to talk about. That was one of the notes I had. So it's been 4 episodes since the duel.
Yes.
There has been absolutely no mention, follow-up, or even, like, Easter eggs. There's nothing about those 3 characters, Angela, Dwight, and Andy. This is the first time it's mentioned, and of course, it's, like we just said, it's half-assed, filler. It's thrown in at the last second just to meet time standards. Like, what do you make of that? As somebody who's been watching the show, and we're watching it in order, we saw how, I mean, the Dwight-Angela thing has been going on since season 2.
Yeah, but Angela is, like, such a stone-cold bitch. Okay. Like, I think she's just like, whatever, you don't want it, fine.
Really? Because she seemed really hurt at the end of the duel
she
when they
did,
both turned
but
on her.
I think, like I said, she's a strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
Oh, just
at
like
least in
own,
her own head.
Just like someone I know.
Yep. Yep. But, so I think, honestly, like, she's playing it cool. She might be upset, but I don't think
she... But what about Dwight?
Dwight is, you know, he's moving and grooving. He's got other things to handle.
And Andy, I guess this is their way of having Andy, because Andy is probably the weakest character out of those 3, so I guess he would kind of give into this. But it's still, it's just weird, because they're all working together, and they all, like, participated in that, like, in different, like, the roast, the hot and not debate, like...
Yeah, but also you have to think, like, Angela and Andy didn't really have a good, like, an actual relationship.
They had sex.
They didn't have an actual relationship, though.
They were gonna
both of them, yeah, but...
But Andy
they
loved
They barely
her,
knew each other.
But Andy did love
no,
her.
No, I don't think he did.
You can
I
love
think
someone
he now
without
reali-
knowing them.
But I think he now realizes, like, what they had was never love.
I guess.
I think Andy... Down to the fact that he's been carrying an engagement ring around in his wallet for 5 years, because you never know when you're going to meet the right one. I think Andy just wants to be married.
It's just odd, because this dominated the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And then it just dropped stone cold.
Yep.
Which, I will say, I think there's a reason that the last, like, 4 episodes have gotten 4s and 4.5s from us, because they dropped probably the worst storyline on the show.
Well, Andy's,
like, I don't think that's coincidence.
Andy's not as obnoxious now.
Well, I don't think it's coincidence, because when they take those 3, that storyline away, everybody else has come in.
Mm.
Like, even the moments with Creed. My favorite part, I didn't mention it in the beginning of this episode. I wanted to. So, when Michael is doing the pilot voice over the phone, and he's just like, if you look out the right window, you'll see. And Creed is looking out the window, advancing, and he turns out like he's confused. Like, he thinks they're actually in a plane. Dude, his facials in these, like, this season have been fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And the lines he's delivering, and how he's just insanely entertaining in the little morsels we get.
Yep.
But, like, this has been a stretch of episodes that has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this season 5, I said it earlier, this has been my favorite season so far. I mean, we're only halfway through.
Yeah.
God forbid it goes off a fucking cliff. I don't know. But one other thing I want to talk about is, I already said Dwight and Jim are the money team when they're working at together rather than cross purposes.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is something they should do more often, because I find it more entertaining.
It's fun.
I like the odd couple routine more so than the adversarial approach with them. And Michael, do you think he's sympathetic in this episode? Do you find some compassion for Michael Gary Scott?
I mean, he's still a total douche.
Yes, he is. He's running around with a chainsaw.
But he's like, I haven't talked to Holly since we broke up, and I want closure too. I think Pam is hopeful that he's being mature. Well,
part of me, like, as soon as he said that, I'm like, he's gonna beg her back. Like, I have a feeling that when we reconvene next week for another podcast, like, we're gonna be talking about that. I don't know, maybe they'll throw me a curveball, but like, that was like my gut feeling.
Just have to wait and when see when I man. Saw that.
But man, we're on a tear, and yeah, I'm enjoying it. So
this is a lot of fun.
What do we have next week?
So next week we have season 5, episodes 17 and 18. 17 is Lecture Circuit, part 2.
Finish.
And 18 is Blood Drive.
Blood Drive. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, like, this is the part where I'm pretty much in the dark on most of these. I did come back for the D'Angelo Vickers episodes.
Oh, God.
Which I think they're more down the road.
We'll get there, guys. Yeah. We'll get there.
Like, those are ones that were appointment viewing for me. Yeah. I had to come back for those.
You know what's funny is that we're just getting past the halfway mark of this season. Because yeah, there's 28 episodes in the season. So,
as Scott Steiner once said, it's going to be a meat grinder. But
we're halfway through, guys. Yep. We just got through the fall finale, winter finale.
No, this is definitely post-Christmas. This is like 5 weeks after Christmas. Yeah. So wow, they must have went until fucking June. Now that I'm thinking about it.
This is either a that long ass season.
Either that or there were no repeats.
Well, they're making up for season 14.
I guess so. So next week we're going to cover those episodes. In the meantime, if you want to reach out to us on Twitter at BroSaysPodcast or send us a longer form what is it called?
Email.
Not a letter. What is it called? Correspondence.
Correspondence.
Send us an email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We'll be happy to talk to you and answer your questions or take your criticism and hail of bullets.
Absolutely. And guys, thank you again for always sharing the show with your friends. If you like what you're hearing, please make sure you share us around. Tell other people so that they can enjoy
our
tangents as well.
We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Until next time.
Till next time, guys. Thank you.